Oh, that's good music this morning, is it not? Huh? Yeah, that'll get us all ready for what's ahead and what's going on. And oh, I really enjoyed that. So today is Pentecost. I'm going to read that story here in a little bit, and there's a lot of big places and names that in the ancient world that I'll do my best to pronounce. But the title of the message is What Makes a Great Church? And it's going to come from Acts 2, 1 through 21. And the title in my Bible is The Holy Spirit Comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. Our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow, that's powerful. So I thought there's nothing better but than to tell the story of three pastors that were having lunch together. And they learned that they had all been facing the very same problem. All three churches had bats in the attic. Now one pastor tried to solve the problem with a shotgun, and that didn't really work out so well. Another pastor, he captured them and drove them to the country and set them free, but the bats beat him back to the church. The third pastor said, they're no longer a problem at my church. Well, how did you get rid of them? The others asked. Well, the pastor said, I baptized them and confirmed them, and they haven't been back since. The amazing thing about that story is that it can be told in any church of any denomination, and people will relate to it. The alignment of the modern church is that it has, or the ailment, I should say, is that it has difficulty attracting and keeping new members. It's strange that this would be the case because you know, attending church is easier today than it ever has been before. In this country, you're not likely to be arrested or executed for attending church. It's most likely it won't hurt your career. In fact, it helps your career in many cases. Our churches are comfortable. The buildings are air-conditioned. We have good sound systems most of the time. Then they're not acting up, which I've had them in both services. It's possible to hear, for everyone to hear, without the preacher having to shout. Our pews, or chairs in this case, are cushioned. We don't have to sit on hard wooden benches or metal chairs. The services don't last for 4 hours. I'm a little upset about that yet, but it's okay, like they did in the old days. You would think like that these changes that have happened, that the church would be larger than it was 50 years ago. But the fact is, when you compare the percentages of church membership to general population, the church is smaller than it was 50 years ago. The current trend, it seems to show no sign of reversal. When you examine the early church, you don't see this type of a problem. In fact, the early church changed the course of human history in spite of having no resources, no buildings, no seminaries, no denominational headquarters. This happened because the early church possessed a certain qualities that caused it to prosper, even in the midst of oppression. These cultural elements of a dynamic church can be seen as we study the story of the birth, the history of the birth of the church in the second chapter of Acts that I just read today. And as we read that story, or we ponder that story and learn from it today, we'll see reasons why the early church was so powerful. And if our church today can be like the early church was on the day of Pentecost, then our church can be powerful and dynamic. The history in Acts 2 reveals four characteristics of the early church, which would be descriptive of any dynamic church, or New Testament church, or whole Bible church in this century, right? First of all, dynamic churches possess, first, an atmosphere in which God is free to move. When you read the first few verses of Acts 2, what usually attracts our attention is the phenomenon described in verses 2 through 4, which is the mighty wind and the flames of fire, the speaking in tongues. We get all that. And in reality, the key verse to this passage is the very first verse. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. The followers of Jesus had cultivated an atmosphere in which God was free to move. They did it in two ways. Okay? The first one is obedience to God's word. The followers of Jesus were all together in one place because of the word he gave them just before his ascension. Jesus said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." What word have we received as a church that we need to obey? God has commanded us to preach the gospels, right? His word. He has commanded us to feed the hungry, to clothe the unclothed, to visit the sick. He has given us his perfect word in the scriptures. And in them we all need, we have all that we need in the way of teaching, correction, and training in righteousness, and that comes from 2 Timothy 3:16. So the early church created an atmosphere in which God was free to move because they were committed to obeying the word of Christ. Also, they just demonstrated faith in his promises. They were waiting together because they believed that Jesus would fulfill the promises he made a few days earlier when he said, in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. No wonder they were waiting together. No one wanted to miss out on this promise that Jesus made. They knew whatever was about to happen would be important, and they wanted to be a part of it. We can experience a powerful move of God in this congregation if we're obedient to his word and if we believe his promises. There's an old gospel hymn that goes something like this. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The second characteristic in Acts 2 that is a dynamic church, it's about a dynamic church, it grabs the attention of outsiders. Repeatedly throughout the books of Acts, we see that the church was too powerful to be ignored. This was certainly the case on Pentecost Sunday. After the sound of the wind and the sign of the flames of fire that landed on the disciples, the crowd that had gathered at the house, there were, they could see all of this taking place, and they were amazed to hear the disciples speaking in different languages. They realized that this was something beyond the ordinary. And many of them were intrigued. Starting in verse 7, it says, utterly amazed, they ask, are not all these men Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? A dynamic church attracts attention to itself. People cannot help but to notice. When the community sees miraculous changes in people's lives and hears the testimony of believers, they will not be able to resist the temptation of taking a closer look. What's this all about? Of course, anytime a person looks objectively at the claims of Jesus Christ, there is only one conclusion that they can come to. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and has the power to change lives. It's important to realize, however, that some are not going to take an objective look at the church. There are those who, even in the presence of a miraculous signs that can only be critical or cynical. In verse 13, but others were making fun of them, saying, they have had too much wine. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, but they had too much wine. The crowd witnessed the miraculous events on the day of Pentecost. The reaction was either amusement or amazement. But they were unable to ignore what was going on. In 1981, Howard Cosell was voted most loved, most hated sportscaster. In the very same survey, by the way. This is because Howard Cosell's personality was so overbearing that you either loved him or hated him. But he made it very difficult to ignore him. This is how the world must react to Jesus. Jesus said, he who is not for me is against me. And he also said, he who is not against me is for me. He made it clear that you cannot ride the fence concerning your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no neutral ground. As the world examines the church, their reaction to us will be the same. They will want to join us or ridicule us, but they will not be able to ignore us, not if we are a dynamic church also opens its doors to everyone. And I've said that since the very beginning of my ministry. a tragic element of the church's history is that it has often acted as an exclusive social club rather than the body of Christ. In the early days, there were those who didn't want to allow Gentiles into the fellowship. In the Middle Ages, during the Reformation, Jews were excluded from church membership. In recent generations, people of different races have been made to feel unwelcome in a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant church. Of course, the church hasn't only excluded people on the basis of skin color. People have been snubbed because of age, gender, socioeconomic status. When Peter spoke to the crowd on the day of Pentecost, he made it clear that this miraculous event was representative of God's intention to include everyone and everybody into the fellowship of his church. Jesus said, go to the ends of the earth, share to everyone. Whereas in Judaism, there were sharp distinctions in the status of Jews and Gentiles. Peter made it clear that the church of Christ would be eliminated. Peter said that in the Christ church there would be no room for race discrimination. God says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all kinds of people. At the church of Christ, Jews, right? At the church time when Christ was here, right? Jews were considered God's people. Gentiles were considered to be separated from God. Religious Jewish men used to pray this. Listen to this. Lord, I thank you that I was born neither a woman or a Gentile. Though Gentiles could convert to Judaism, they could never enjoy the full package of benefits as one who was Jewish by birth. And really, strict Jews had no use for Gentiles at all. Some even went so far as saying that help should not be given to a Gentile woman in childbirth because it would only bring another Gentile into the world. God had promised many times in the Old Testament to eradicate this kind of racism. And this is truly part of the message of Pentecost. God's Spirit is available to anyone from any nation. There was a Japanese Christian by the name of Toro Matsumoto, and he was scheduled to be ordained for ministry at Marble Collegiate Church just 3 days after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Because of the highly emotional reaction of the American people to the Japanese attack, it was suggested by denominational leaders that the service be delayed until things had cooled down just a bit. Norman Vincent Peale, who was the pastor of Marble Collegiate, said that the affairs of Christianity should not be determined by war hysteria, and recommended the service go on. The police provided protection and the orientation took place. The ordination took place, not orientation. The ordination took place without trouble. Reverend Matsumoto later became an influential Christian leader in his home country. Gender discrimination. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. And we've looked at that closely in 1 Corinthians over the last few weeks. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. And this is a sensitive issue among many Bible-believing Christians. So please take note. I am not making this up. St. Peter is not making this up. He's not speaking his opinion. His words are a direct quote from God's mouth, as first recorded in Joel 2:28-32. In the New Testament, women played a critical role in the establishment of several congregations and were identified as fellow workers by the apostles. Paul even gave instructions on how women should dress and praying and prophesizing in church. Acts 16:13, Acts 17:4, Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 11:5, which we have studied. And we're not going to go into all of that again. You know what it says. It's enough to say that the scriptures make it plain that women are to be actively involved in the ministry of the church, and they are not to be considered second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. Age discrimination. Verse 17, young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. It is a shame that organizations which are, you know, not allowed to discriminate according to race or gender are still allowed to discriminate according to age. Too often talented, experienced, and therefore more expensive workers are quietly ushered out of the company's back door to make way for younger and less expensive labor. There are even some denominations that have a mandatory retirement age once a minister reaches a certain age. This is unfortunate, because at no point in a person's life do they lose their ability to make a contribution to the kingdom of God. We need the wisdom and experience that comes only with age. We also make the mistake of referring to young people as the church of tomorrow. Oh my. Peter is saying that they are the church of today. Today they will see visions. Every member of this congregation, no matter how young or old, has a role to play. And we need each and every one of you to be here, to be ready, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because fourth, a dynamic church proclaims the message of salvation. Verse 21, then anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's verse 21. And then later Paul finishes his message. I'm sorry, Peter finishes that message by saying, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Believing, repenting, being baptized, sins forgiven. He can't ignore any of those. And he repeats the promise Christ made clear earlier in Acts 2:38. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is crucial now more than ever before that the church be faithful to the preachings of the gospel message. One reason we have lost influence in society is that, the church as a whole has gotten away from the message of salvation. Some preach against sin, but that is not the same thing as preaching God's message of salvation. Some preach a political agenda. That's not the same thing as preaching the message of salvation. The message of salvation is the message that the early church proclaimed, and it is the message that we, each of us, must proclaim today. Jesus Christ is Lord, and He has the power to change lives. This is the dynamic message that makes believers out of non-believers. Otherwise, we're just preaching to the choir. I'm going to tell you a story about three churches: Baptist, Methodist, and Presbyterian. They all worked together to sponsor this big community-wide revival. I've been to these revivals. It's cool. after the revival had concluded, the three pastors, they were discussing what happened, the results of what went on, and the Methodist minister said the revival worked great for us. We gained 4 families as new members of our congregation, amen? The Baptist preacher said, we did even better than that. We gained 6 new families as members of our congregation. Praise God. The Presbyterian pastor said, well, we did even better than that. We got rid of our 10 biggest troublemakers. Yeah, right? 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 Churches whose growth, listen to this, churches whose growth is only the result of trans-denominational transfers are missing out on the fundamental mission, right? The principle of our mission. We are called to preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. The church has an evangelistic mission, and if we're not saving souls, we're simply not doing our job. Today, we need to ask ourselves, how do we compare to the early church? Do we cultivate an atmosphere where God is free to move? Do we grab the attentions of outsiders? Do we open the doors to everyone? Do we preach the message of salvation? To the extent that we can accomplish these will determine how effective we are. Are we a dynamic church? The early church was more than just a social gathering. They were God's people committed to doing God's work. They changed the course of history. Let's be like that church was, right? When it came into existence on the day of Pentecost. Dare I say, let us become a Pentecostal church in the way it refers to on the day of Pentecost. May the Holy Spirit be a blessing to each of your lives. Can you recognize the movement of God in, through, and around you? Be ready to share what God has done for you. Your personal witness, it's not hard. It can be scary. But when the Holy Spirit is with you, anything can happen. In God's will, amen? Amen.